Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Thursday, the 27th of September. Very nice to have you with us, and we welcome you. It is a it's a very nice morning, and hopefully it is nice where you are as well. Let me introduce the panel to you. And everyone's trying to make sure their earphones work. If you turn that dial up there on the top.
Got it.
See if that works.
Yes, it
does. Okay, excellent. There you go. All right. It's in your hands. Good morning. Welcome to our sound check. It's very nice to have you. Very nice to have you with us.
What time do we start the show?
Yeah, that's right. We'll do the, we don't have that long today. We have to make short work of all this because at 10 o'clock, of course, we will be having special coverage of the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. It should be a rather explosive day on Capitol Hill. Now, let me introduce everybody. We welcome to the program Siena College Professor of Comparative Politics, Vera Acarias-Kelly. Good morning, Vera.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us. Daily Freeman Publisher Emeritus Ira Fussfeld is in the house.
Good day.
Sir. Nice to have you. Fresh from a media project taping, so good to have you with us. Also fresh from that taping, Vice President for Editorial Development at the New York Press Association, Judy Patrick. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Joe.
Very nice to have you. Also joining us via phone, we welcome WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Well, I'm just fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, good. So anyway, it's an amazing day. We all have to go quickly, as Ira just indicated. But here's the deal. The way I'm seeing it, Joe, you know, you have the accusers, you have Kavanaugh. The accusers are coming forward. The Republicans have to decide, are we going to shove this guy in? Are we going to have a Mitch McConnell-type vote either tomorrow or very soon thereafter and infuriate the women of America and as well as the men of America who are so angry about this because we want to influence criminal, we want to influence the court for the next 20, 30 years. And it doesn't matter if we lose the Senate as a result. Now I'll shut up.
No, you're out of the box like a rocket. That's good. Did you want to talk about the lockbox, though?
I did, Joe, and thanks for reminding me.
No problem.
There's nothing more important than keeping this thing. Yeah, you are indeed. There's nothing more important than keeping this thing going and not letting the light go out. Anybody who's listening now knows there's nothing like this on the air. I mean, there is no other public radio station like it. We are unique in that we are a community. We've all made it together. Unfortunately, we woke up and we discovered that we were $20,000 behind last year at this time. That can't be. We've just got, because of everything that's going on, to do everything we can. It's WAMC.org. And if you want to call, it's 1-800-323-9262. But if you do it now, we'll be saved, and that will be great.
A couple of things. 18 days until the start of the fund drive. We're at 165,000. Yeah, it's not long. And the lockbox goal, of course, is $500,000. Also, just a reminder, we still have tickets for Capital Steps, and those are going very quickly. In fact, they are they're on their way to gone. So if you want yours, you have to get them now. The date of the show is November 9th, which is just 3 days after the midterm elections. How fun is that going to be? The Capital Steps at the Egg, you get the tickets, you get a CD recording of the event, all for a pledge of $150. And the event will definitely sell out, and but whatever you can do. Alan.
But that's true, Joe, and you are so right just to mention all of that. But there's really only one reason, because if you tune in, and we have 500,000 people every month listening to WAMC, if everybody can just do a little, we will be saved. And by the way, Joe, I think we should say to everybody, the great thing about the lockbox is it's terrific. If we can get halfway there, it would be terrific. But if we can't, we'll just be on until we've done it. We've never missed a fund drive. And so it's either now or later on. Or as was it John R. Arbuckle or one of those guys who said, you can pay me now or you can pay me later.
Pay me now or pay me later. All right. Well, let's get to the other business. And Alan started us off with his thoughts on the hearing today. So, Vera, what do you make of what's at stake this morning?
I actually have to say I found
Yesterday, the last few days, yesterday, all the sort of explosive information, the constant release of further testimony, questions, transcripts, very disturbing. We are in such a rush right now, whereas we should be taking a lot more time to investigate what is happening. I mean, there is a very simple way to explore what has been happening by engaging with the FBI and requesting a timely process to further explore what's been happening. And that is what should be happening rather than this frantic pace, this chaos all around us. And as a woman, I have to say, I feel disturbed. It's a moment that is exceptionally important for women, I believe, for men as well, for allies of women who have gone through all kinds of sexual harassment. We saw the aftermath of some of the recent trials that happened where women just sob thinking about finally having been listened to. So this is a very emotional moment for the country, and I can't remember quite feeling like that.
Judy?
So here's how I'm seeing it. This is not about a Supreme Court nomination, which is very, I concede is very important. This is not about the midterm elections, which I concede is very important. This is about the role of women in society and how they have been oppressed. I mean, let's be honest about this. You listen to all the comments being made by people in power about accusers, about harassment. There's not going to be corroboration. When someone sexually harasses someone, there's usually nobody else around to see. I mean, that has what has been incredibly depressing to me. Here's my thought. I think that if Anita Hill came forward today, she'd get the same treatment she got all those years ago. I don't think people would believe her today. And incredibly depressing to me was a poll that said 59% of people said that if true, that would preclude Brett Kavanaugh from being on the court. That means 40% of the people think that that's okay. Boys will be boy. He can be on the Supreme
Court.
Well,
that's similar to Trump's 35-40%, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. And which is, our society needs to take a really hard look at what we do. Do we laugh at dirty jokes? Do we we've gotten to the point where, you know, women have to, you know, they mutilate their body with breast implants so they can be more attractive. And it's a whole, we have not come as far as we should have. We've come inches in the last 30 years.
Well, I'm going to say something which is surprising even to me. I'm going to take an optimistic tone, which I almost never do. And that is, I am certain that this woman is going to get up before the microphones today and tell a story that is heartfelt and as accurate as she can recall it. I think she's going to come off very well. And then at the end of the day, it's going to be very difficult for any of those Republicans to not recognize that there is truth to her story. I believe that if the Republicans, the only way the Republicans will emerge from this mess is if they or Trump get this guy off of the nomination list. Otherwise, there are just too many there are too many negatives associated with the Republican Party right now. And when you took a look at this woman and then you look at the allegations that are coming from others, seemingly uncoordinated, seemingly with no reason to do it other than to try to do the right thing. To my knowledge, they're not making any money on this. All they're doing is up. Their lives have become upside down by stepping forward. So I believe with a certain degree of optimism that this woman is going to purport herself very well today, and the process will somehow get on the right track, and that this candidate will be viewed as unqualified. And by the way, I'm sure I'm not the first one to say this. The sexual harassment is bad enough, obviously, but the allegations of the drinking, which he has largely denied, seem equally, if not more so, accurate. And so he has already, in my view, lied to the panel or lied in the interview he did with Fox. And this guy, for no other reason than that lying, is not qualified to be on the Supreme Court.
Let us talk for a moment.
I want to know from all of you what you think of McConnell, who says, I don't care. I want this nomination through, and we're going to do it, and I'm going to hold our people's feet to the fire, and that's it.
Well, what I think is that if, in fact, he sticks to that, the only thing he'll get out of it is a Republican conservative on the court, and that may be enough for him, but he's going to help drag down the brand, which is already suffering. So if he wants to do that at the risk of losing his own leadership in the Senate, which is an increasing possibility, particularly if women voters come out in large numbers and turn the Senate over to the Democrats, you know, God bless him. But he may well do what you're suggesting, Alan, but he's going to suffer some peril as a result.
Last night, the reports were, I know we were talking about this before we went on the air, that I think some of us were surprised even that overnight this nomination wasn't pulled. The support from the reporting that's being done shows very soft support among, I believe, a group of 10 or 12 Republican senators. Even the president in his press conference, which we'll get to, or whatever that was, he was basically saying, you know, I'll watch and we'll see, and we'll see if he's guilty, which is a strange way of putting it. But you didn't get, there wasn't the over-the-top support either, and you wonder what that's going to be. Before we go to the break, I would like to talk about Rachel Mitchell, who will be the Arizona prosecutor who will be questioning both Brett Kavanaugh as well as Dr. Ford, and what we make of that strategy.
Huh. Well, I mean, in my view, it's very interesting, of course, that the Republicans chose a female prosecutor. She has a lot of experience, but I don't think it's simply enough to say she's a woman, therefore her questioning will be more convincing or more gentle or more thoughtful. In terms of her performance, I'm really curious. I will carefully watch and listen to how she frames the questions. I mean, it is a pretty effective strategy to hire a woman for that position. It could convince a lot of people that the Republicans are taking her, you know, taking this process more seriously than we all have wondered about. And the fact is that we are at a point where we wonder if women in this country have any credibility at all.
Alan.
But Vera, don't you think that they have hired this prosecutor, this woman, and that she has her marching orders? I mean, marching orders are to search and destroy with the accusers. I mean, it seems pretty clear to me that just because she's a woman doesn't mean that they haven't strategically hired somebody who will get Kavanaugh through.
But we know why they're doing this. I mean, we talked about this possibility last week, that this exact thing was going to happen. And we know they're doing this because they don't want to be seen as these 11 white men, most of whom are 70s or 80s. And I say that as somebody who has cleared the 70 mark. So I'm not putting them down specifically, but nevertheless.
And we're there for Anita Hill, by the way.
Right. Several of them. And so the visual of them seemingly beating up on this woman was too much for them to even consider, and so they're switching. But it's a tactic that's transparent. I mean, everybody knows why this woman is there.
Yeah, and I understand the tactic as well. But my initial reaction was, thank goodness that they're having someone other than themselves ask the question. Because if you watch the Anita Hill hearings again, the questions they asked were idiotic. They were graphic. They were insulting. And
do you consider yourself a scorned woman?
And I didn't want that woman to be subjected to that kind of question.
Although, from my understanding, Republican senators still can ask questions, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can.
So I mean, if there's still the possibility that it could be
Democratic.
Well, of course, but. Yeah.
And Democrats, yeah.
They're each going to get 5 minutes, but the senators, the Republicans, are likely to yield their time to the woman and prosecutor.
You know, and these guys don't actually ask questions. They actually make a lot of statements, and then there's a question tucked in there someplace, but it's usually 3 minutes of making a statement and 30 seconds
of question. So McConnell apparently also did something interesting. He called this prosecutor an assistant.
His female assistant
to make her look less experienced and more gentle and kind. So there's a way of framing her.
Well, also to make it look like somebody who is on staff as opposed to somebody who they went to a county in Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, of all of the women that they could have selected in this country, and I don't want to cast aspersions on this woman, I'm sure she's qualified, but to go all the way to Arizona, what was that all about? There nobody in Washington, D.C.?
So what do they think? So what is she thinking? That's the question. I mean, now she's going to be in the national spotlight, and her credibility forever on after this day will be called into question if she is not fair.
And if she is, she could springboard herself into a political
exactly.
career.
She could have quite the career if she performs well. I mean, it's for her, it's a major career move potential here. But also, everybody will be watching to make sure she's equally hard on Kavanaugh in her questioning.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that.
We'll see that.
Well, but doesn't it at the end of the day bother, I'm sure it must bother all of us, the damage that this does to the institution of the Supreme Court, in line with all of the other damage to our institutions that have happened in the last couple of years, it's staggering. And you know, people want to have and should have trust in the Supreme Court. The over-politicization of this court is something that I don't know how we're going to recover. I don't know that in my lifetime we'll recover from it.
Hey, Ira, we all know our history. Everybody on this panel knows about Franklin Roosevelt and his attempt to pack the court because it was so political in the other direction. And he really got whacked as a result of that. Nevertheless, he got his way because the old guard was out, the new guard was in, and the new politics was in.
One of the things I wanted to mention is it's really important to start thinking about diversifying the types of law schools that are represented on the Supreme Court. It sounds like a hyper-elitist club, and the more you reflect on that, the less you think about the representative approach for this in this country that sits on the Supreme Court.
We're going to take a break. Yep. We'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Just a reminder, at 10 o'clock, we'll be airing special coverage of the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, expected to begin in just about 24 minutes and 50 seconds. And I know that only because I'm looking at the clock on CNN. Let's go to the letters. We begin with Diane, who says, good morning. Will this female prosecutor also be questioning Kavanaugh? The whole scenario by the Republicans is furthering Libby Post's labeling of the GOP as gropers and old perverts.
That's a new sitcom on the Fox networks, Gropers and Old Perverts.
New on Netflix. Laura writes, there's no reason why the FBI couldn't have completed their investigation by now if it had been ordered by Trump when the issue first arose. And I think what I have seen many prosecutors and many FBI officials and even former GOP officials saying, yeah, they should have. This would have been done by now.
And Ira made the point on the issue of drinking alone and that kind of behavior. The FBI could have easily opened up, a couple of days of questioning of what the atmosphere was like. It doesn't take that long to confirm those kinds of patterns.
Yeah, and in addition to the woman who we're going to be hearing from today, the third woman, the one who Mavinati represents. Mm-hmm. A government employee who has already passed security clearance in the government, filing a deposition or whatever the legal term is for the document that she filed under the potential penalty of perjury. She didn't make this stuff up out of whole cloth. She has too much to risk. Why would she or anybody do that? And as it relates to the drinking, this is something that he has largely already denied. And she is saying under these conditions, yes, I knew he was at these parties where there was a lot of drinking.
And let's not forget Mark Judge.
And Mark Judge, who had a character named Bart O'Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
And there's so much corroborating evidence because there were other people mentioned in the deposition of the third woman who came forward, right? There's so many people that could be asked about the atmosphere, the environment, the kind of conduct that was common at these events.
And if he would have admitted that, yes, I went to these carousing parties, no, I didn't sexually abuse anybody, but I was a drinker when I was in college, well, there's a long line for that. I don't think that would have disqualified him. It disqualifies him if he lied about it.
He did, Ira.
He did.
He did say that he had a drinking problem.
I hadn't heard drinking problem. I heard he did some drinking.
He said he said that he had too much. And now, one other thing that happened is all of a sudden, very suspiciously, it could be a novel. All of a sudden, other guys are coming forward to say, no, it wasn't him. It was me with Ford. Now, that is fascinating. One wonders where those guys came from. That's been reported in the press this morning.
You know, I remember Kavanaugh at some point saying that when he was in high school, he was really focused on good grades, sports, and going to church.
Yeah, he presented himself as a choir boy in that sense, and then the story became different over a period of time, and that alone is something that one should look into, why suddenly the characterization of his years in high school became so entirely different, and then at Yale.
And let me just and the qualifier in high school being prep school, and mm-hmm. there's an article in the Times about the atmosphere of prep school, and certainly the one he attended, and mm-hmm. We're hearing how many cases are we hearing that are coming out of schools now that they're doing their own investigations mm-hmm. of what happened in the past.
And into all of this comes the President of the United States, who has verbally said to people who are confronted by this stuff, deny. And if that is the case, right now we have Kavanaugh sort of coming apart at the seams because he's not denying anymore. He says, I was a drinker. So it's beginning to fall apart.
And at the press conference yesterday, the president also says, well, he also indicated he clearly tends to believe, he tends to not believe people who make these accusations because he's been falsely accused himself many, many, many times because he's a very, very, very famous person.
Yeah. That's why he said he was accused by four or five women. It's more like a dozen or more.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was 19.
And
yeah.
Interestingly also, isn't it that Neil Gorsuch graduated from the exact same prep school and he did not have these issues come up?
Well, that's an excellent point, because these people who are saying that this is the Democrats' politicization of the process to go after this guy, why didn't they go after Gorsuch?
Well, maybe Gorsuch behaved like a normal... reasonable, thoughtful, kind human being at the time?
Yeah, one other thing, and that is that we have seen again and again this business of he deserves a hearing. He deserves a hearing, but they didn't give Gorsuch the hearing. I mean, you had
Garland.
Huckabee Sanders... Garland, I'm so sorry. You're exactly right, Judy. Sorry about that. You had Huckabee Sanders just yesterday saying it's disgraceful that this candidate is not getting a hearing, forgetting all about the Democratic proposal.
So let's talk for I'll finish the letters and then we'll talk mm-hmm. about the press conference yesterday. So Stephen writes, thank you for doing what you do. Can you discuss the possibility of the GOP pushing their Supreme Court nominee through causing a public uproar, resulting in a shift in the House and or Senate towards Democratic, who could then impeach Kavanaugh from the court? They keep on saying that that's an option. I don't know.
I believe that there is a mechanism to do it. There is a mechanism to impeach someone, but it's impossibly hard.
Yeah, I mean,
yes,
how would you remove the votes for that? I want to thank Alan for adding a mention of the men to his comment of those of us who are opposed to this nomination. It's not just women who are offended by this abhorrent behavior. Hopefully a few men on the other side of the aisle will rethink their positions on this judge as they are forced to come to terms with the human being on the other side of what they're referring to thus far as simply the accuser.
Yeah.
Richard writes, at this point, Kavanaugh might be more of more help to the GOP by indignantly withdrawing his nomination, claiming to be a victim of the evil Democrats, eliciting sympathy from the right, and playing the role of martyr for the conservative cause.
Yeah, there are no good steps for Kavanaugh going forward, no matter what he does.
Yeah.
And Paul says simply, I'm making my contribution to the lockbox today. I realize I listen to WAMC more than 50 hours per week. So let's fill the lockbox.
50 hours a week.
How do you do that, Joe?
WAMC.org. WAMC.org is all you have to do.
That's it.
Well, Paul, thank you for doing your part. We appreciate that. Joel says, white men again. Why say white men? Dr. Ford is not Anita Hill. The Republican men are men, and that's bad enough.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't have too many African-American or Latino men on the panel either, but, you know.
Yeah, just watch TV. Just watch. Yeah. It's amazing.
Olaf says, great panel as always. So if Kavanaugh gets on the Supreme Court despite all the accusations and more women keep coming forward accusing him of sexual crimes, is there any way to remove him from the court? We just talked about that. Malia says, I apologize if you've already covered this, but could you discuss the merits of ending the lifetime appointment system? There was an op-ed this week in the Washington Post, I believe. There was a question mark after that. Proposing an 18-year appointment so that each presidential term would have two appointments. How would we even change such a system? Alan?
It would take a constitutional amendment, and frankly, it ain't going to happen. End of discussion. Or, as my friend Stacey Rosenberry puts it all, Stacey Perry Rosenberry puts it all the time, the end.
Nancy says McConnell may be ready to cede the speakership if he can seize the court for potentially decades. Kavanaugh would give them everything they want in terms of pro-corporate, anti-worker, anti-women, anti-environment rulings. They will theoretically own the country in perpetuity. I think they will destroy it if they get their way.
Well, it's true. That's true, and that's their problem. Do they want to lose the Senate or the court? That's the choice.
Go ahead. Well,
one of the things I'm really worried about is credibility in the Supreme Court. I think this could have lasting repercussions in terms of how people think of themselves in the United States and their ability to shape a liberal democratic environment. So I think we will see an increase in protest and maybe in parts of the country serious demonstrations in terms of what we haven't seen since the 60s.
But Vera, what about Citizens United? Did you see people with pots and pans going out onto the streets after that awful decision?
No, but people don't understand some of these things. They're so abstract. They sort of, I think people had no understanding of what Citizens United was about. But this is pretty real. This is about women, over half the population, who are feeling increasingly excluded, character assassination, and marginalization.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. But you're not talking, so then you're talking about this particular process of putting this guy on the court as opposed to the decisions that will be coming out of that court.
I think this particular appointment, I think, is so troublesome. Because we don't have a sense of trust in this particular nominee. And I think it's just simply time for him to step down or for the administration to withdraw his nomination.
14 minutes and 3 seconds before we go over to coverage of the...
I hate it when they do those countdown
I know. I guess in this case it's helpful for us.
For us.
But anyway, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We'll talk about the press conference yesterday and other stuff. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Two quick letters and then we'll get to the press conference yesterday. We got this one from Catherine, says it could be very likely that Kavanaugh and others don't remember and deny everything because they were not just drunk, but also had no clue what impact they were having on their victims. The boys have no trauma from this.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. What is the trauma when you're a perpetrator, right? I mean, they don't seem to reflect on anything and the damage they have done.
Ellen is very disappointed in the panel. She said, this woman has a name. She is Rachel Mitchell, who is responsible for prosecuting a 13-year veteran of the Mesa Police Department who groped two women. And we mentioned that. We gave her credentials, but okay, you can still be disappointed.
Well, I was questioning why her as opposed to somebody in Washington or somebody other than an attorney from the middle of Arizona.
Okay, so she's just disappointed in you.
Well, that's not the first time.
All right, let's go to other stories. And, of course, we just have to talk about the press conference yesterday. It was a rare gathering, I believe only his second correct? Second?
Fourth full solo press conference.
Fourth?
Yeah.
Fourth solo.
Yeah.
Okay. 81 minutes, and it was quite something for any of you who have who watched it from beginning to end. The reporter who was there for the Washington Post said the first question tossed was to John Roberts, a favored reporter at a favorite network, Fox News, before quickly careening into a televised drama that was as much public therapy session as a question and answer opportunity with reporters. By turns fiery and freewheeling, deadly serious and darkly humorous, an animated Trump delivered bluster, falsehoods, insults, breaking news, and, as he quipped at one point, more than a hint of his trademark braggadocios.
Well, I sat and watched that thing, as I suspect we all did, and I found it infuriating, I found it embarrassing, I found it entertaining, I found it enlightening, and as the Washington Post described, pretty much a cross-section of who this guy is. I sat there thinking to myself, he reminds me of somebody, and I finally came up with a name which will show off my age again, but the world's foremost authority, Professor Irwin Corey.
Oh, Irwin Corey.
Irwin Corey would start at the beginning, and he would finish at the end, and in between, he had no idea what he was talking about, and that's pretty much what we had here yesterday.
And the hair some more.
Irwin Corey would say, somebody would ask Irwin Corey a question, is why is the world like this? And he would say, why is a crooked letter? That was his answer, and then he would riff.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that President Trump never responded to the question about him having daughters and what he would think about his own daughters undergoing an experience like that. And he glossed over that. He
several times similar
things,
kinds of questions.
Right? Things mostly about himself and how he has been victimized. And then it somehow got merged into the Kavanaugh experience. And it was fairly...
Wasn't it like watching
confusing.
Somebody go through a CAT scan? I mean, it's like we watched the cross section of his brain, and we saw this compartment here and that compartment there, and
well,
we saw all of the Trumpisms.
So the thing I had my daily call with my brother who lives in North Carolina, and we were going through the politics of the day, and we were talking on the way to work this morning, and we came to the conclusion that, so let's say Rod Rosenstein was wearing the wire, and he wore the wire to invoke the 25th Amendment. Wouldn't that tape sound very similar to the 81 minutes that we heard yesterday?
I think that what we heard yesterday is what we read about in Woodward's book, and what we read about in Omarosa's book, and what we read about in Michael Wolff's book. This is the man unvarnished. And by the way, most accounts of this press conference, in addition to the criticisms that have been leveled, point out that he just seemed to be having a great time.
Yeah, well, and as wild and crazy as that press conference was, it did give the public a good view of where he stands or his mind. And you know, as a reporter, you often get frustrated because press conferences are so scripted and they stick to certain lines. And he definitely doesn't do that.
Nope.
At one point, he said...
That's the way he got elected president.
It is. And at one point, he said they were talking about the Russia thing, and he says, I'm a fighter, I will fight back, and if you want to call that collusion, so be it, or words to that. Well, yes, right. That's exactly right.
I mean, yeah, he was... I mean, one of the other moments, many people know that one of my research areas is in the Middle East. I'm interested in Kurdish studies, and you might have, if you actually listen to the entire... press conference there. At some point, President Trump called on an ethnic Kurdish reporter by the name of Mr. Kurd. And everybody in Kurdish study was going like, what is that? Do you call an ethnic Arab Mr. Arab, and you call a Jewish journalist Mr. Jew? I mean, I was thinking... This is the most crazy thing I've seen in a long time.
And
at one point
he told a female reporter to sit down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, wouldn't want to have a very
great,
outspoken
Vera,
woman.
Vera, that is truly one of the best things I have ever heard on this program.
Yeah,
I'm really glad you raised it. But Joe, if I could, I want to go back to something you just said. And we gave it a pretty short shrift, and that was Rosenstein, because it's a huge story. Now, here was this guy who allegedly said, you know, tape him and, 25th Amendment him, and somehow this president is going to let him survive. And that's because he knows that if he gets rid of Rosenstein, there will be the kind of hell to pay that we've been expecting all along. Somebody told him, don't do it. You can't do it. It'll be over. That'll lead to the Mueller thing, and it will be the end of you. That's what I'm thinking.
And I think you're right. And as far as the, you know, from the reporting that's now coming out about what happened on Monday when Rosenstein showed up at the White House, was it just sort of all broke down?
Because, yeah, surprise, I'm not resigning.
Well, right, and I think a lot of that was exactly what Alan was saying, of the people were finally getting to the president saying, yeah, this isn't a good idea. So you look at there's so much to really take out of the press conference yesterday, and because there was really so much there. And so it's hard to know exactly where to go with it as far as, I don't know, taking any of it seriously or understanding any policy in there or exactly where we're headed. He did say regarding the hearings today, they're giving the woman a major chance to speak. Now, it's possible I'll hear that and I'll say, hey, I'm changing my mind. That is possible. They're going to have a big shot at speaking and making their case. And you know what? I can be persuaded also, okay? Later, Trump twice offered something of an evergreen admission, well known to White House aides who often compete to be the last person in the room with the president, declaring, I can always be convinced. I could be convinced of anything.
Okay, so what does he know that we don't know? In other words, this is a guy who's not about to give up on a nominee if he doesn't have to. So if he is indicating, and he has been doing that for the last couple of days, that his mind might be changed, maybe there's something lurking out there we just don't know about.
You know what I suspect, Alan? This is, you know, Kavanaugh did not perform according to the standards and according to Trump's standards in the Fox News interview, right? He wasn't belligerent. He seemed kind of not very photogenic, and that is what.
Well, he was
Trump
robotic. I mean,
and he was robotic, yeah, right? I mean, he was not convincing. It was not a good interview.
17 times he said, "All I want is a fair process." Process.
And by the way, he's the president is pretty clear about that. He didn't perform as I wanted him to perform. He said it. You're right, Vera, but in fact, the president has been straightforward about that.
Right. Now we know what we're looking for in a Supreme Court justice. We don't care about sexual assault issues, but we want that person to look photogenic and be belligerent in a TV interview. Wow, those are some seriously interesting standards.
So, Vera, what happens? Tell me what happens. You're a brilliant political scientist. You've taken this all in. Do the Republicans feel so strongly about getting this guy through that they put him through no matter what the country feels and what the women in this country feel, or do they lay him aside?
With 2 minutes and 46 seconds to go before the hearing, what's your best bet?
I think there's an incredible burden on Professor Blasey Ford today. If she comes across as calm, photogenic. Yes, if she's photogenic, poor woman, then Kavanaugh might be withdrawn. That's what I really think.
Well, you know, Trump certainly didn't give a full-throated support for Kavanaugh yesterday. I believe he's setting it up so that if he has to somehow get rid of this guy, it will not make Trump look bad. I believe that if Kavanaugh on his own doesn't withdraw, Trump will tell him you have to withdraw. So it does not look like
so much for loyalty.
No, there's no loyalty.
Well, we know that.
No, there's no loyalty.
Judy?
Yeah, I think every woman is just going to be disappointed. No matter what happens, we're all going to feel used and abused.
Yep.
I mean, I hate to sound so pessimistic about it, but no matter what happens, I think this has not been a good showing for our society.
All right, we're out of time. Coming up next, we are going to have a special coverage of the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Alan, Ira, Vera, and Judy, thank you all very much. We'll be back.
Lockbox.